Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Samachay. We are learning today Le'ili Nishmas Eileen Lesnick. That's Rabbi David Lesnick's wife, Aleha Shalom, Esther Bas Aryeh Leib. And I would also mention that Rabbi Lesnick has a grandson who is a chayal in Eretz Yisrael who was badly wounded and needs a refuah shlema, and we learn and daven for him as well. We're also learning today Le'ili Nishmas Jack Baum, Mrs. Sperber, Ruth Gertman, and Eva Ruder. I don't have their names in Hebrew. We're learning Le'ili Nishmas, all of them. They should all have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the success and the safety of all the Chayalei Tzal. Those who need a refuah shleima should have one. They should be successful in bringing back the Chatufim, b'mheira, in good health. And there should be peace for all of Klal Yisrael and coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'ezus Hashem. We pick up the Gemara on Samechei Amud Aleph, four lines to the top with the word Gufa. Now, Gufa normally means that we're going to quote an entire section. It's interesting here, the Gufa is only quoting a part of what we had and is adding on additional information. In any event, you'll see what I mean in a moment. Gufa, we repeat what we learned in yesterday's shir, Omar Rab taught us that Keren Ke'en Shaganav. If we have a Ganav who stole something and is going to be chayev not only to pay back the principal, but possibly going to be chayev to pay kefel as well as dalad dehei. So Rav had taught us, and this is the quote that we had from yesterday's shir, keren ke'ein shaganav. The keren, the principal, you pay as if the value was of the item at the time that it was actually stolen. So if it went up or down afterwards, we don't take that in consideration, albeit we'll see there are exceptions to this rule, but you pay at the time of the valuation of the item at the time that it was stolen. However, for tashlumi kefil, for the double penalty that you pay under certain situations, or the tashlumi arba v'chamisha, the dalad v'hei that you pay when you either shecht it or you sell a goat, or seh, a sheep, or a cow, depending on the type of animal it is, you pay dalad for the goat and the sheep, and you pay hay for the cow, if you sell it or shecht it, then that penalty, the kefil and the dalad v'hei, is evaluated kishas hamodo badin at the time that you're taken to beis din. So again, you can have, when we say kefil, it doesn't always mean twice the same amount. The principal is paid according to Rav at the time of the theft, whereas the kefil penalty, the additional penalty that you pay an extra time, the value, the dalad v'hei, the additional payments that you pay for the tficha or mechira, so that is going to be paid based upon the valuation of the item at the time that you brought to beis din. That's Rav's din, that's the gufa. Why? My time of the Rav. We're asked, what is the rationale behind Rav? So we bring down the pasuk that we brought down yesterday, Omar Kra, we said, imi matzei si matzei biyodo ha-gineva, mishor ad-chamor atse chayim. So we have the word gineva, and we have the word chayim. So gineva v'chayim teach us this din. Now, why did the Torah add these extra words, gineva and chayim? The Gemara explains what we learned in yesterday's shir. Amai kamar rachmona chayim b'gineva. Why do we have over here these two lishonos? To teach us, achye likeren ke'en shaganav. We, so to say, make live, we go and return, you have to pay and compensate for the keren the way it was at the time of the gineva. So achye, the chayim, of the valuation of the gneva at the time that it was stolen. So that's Rav's diuk from the pasuk, but that diuk is only for the principal, for the keren. It isn't for the kefel or the dalad v'hei. Now, Rav had said this, and Rav Sheshes heard this, and we have to Rav Shas a statement like this many times that Rav Sheshes says. He says, I can't believe that Rav said that, because there's no way that Rav could have said it. He held Rav in such high regard, so he said, I'm Rav Sheshes, Amina, I say, ki noyim v'shochiv Rav, Rav was half asleep when he said this. There's no way he would have said this if he was fully awake. He had such high esteem and regard for Rav, there's no way he could have made such a mistake if he wasn't half asleep. Because Rav Sheshes disagrees with this statement of Rav. Because D'Tanya, he says this statement of Rav goes against the Beferish Braisa. The Braisha tells us, Kechusha, if the Ganav stole an animal that was a weak animal, it was a lean animal, it wasn't worth as much, but then the Hishmina, he fattened it up. He was mufatim the animal. So then in this situation, the Braisha says that the person, the Ganav, has to go and pay the owner of the animal, Mishalim Tashlume Kefel, the Tashlume Arba V'chamisha, Ke'ein Shaganav. Here it says, Beferish in this Braisa, that you don't pay the evaluation at the time that it's brought to beis din, but you pay the evaluation at the time that the animal was stolen. So this Braisa clearly goes against what Rav had said. Why is Rav right? What would Rav say in response to this? So Amrei, so the Gemara says, this is what Rav would have answered. He says, no, you're talking about a different case. I had said my din for when it was mimela on its own, it went up or down in value. That's why you go and look at the time of the beis din. But in this situation, mishum the amalei, because the ganav can tell the owner of the animal, listen, I know patimna, I fattened it up. And now, the at shakalt, you want to go and take the kefo payment, the dalav hay payment, based upon me fattening it up? No. In this situation, but only in this situation, do you look at it at the time that it was stolen. So it was worth $100 when it was stolen. So that's what you use as the baseline for dalav hay and kefo payments. Because if the ganav fattened it up and now it's worth $200, he can say to the owner of the animal, listen, I have to pay you. I did something wrong, so I have to pay you kefil, I have to pay you a dalav hay, but I fattened it up. I'm not going to double pay, so to say. I'll pay you what I'm supposed to based upon what it was at the time that was stolen. So the Bryce is talking about where the ganav fattened it up, so therefore you look at it at the time that it was stolen. And Rav is talking about, as we'll see in the Gemara, but clearly Rav is talking about when Mimela on its own, it became more or less expensive. So then you evaluate it at the time of being brought to the basin for the dalav hay and the kefil. Try again. Toshma, the Gemara has another question on Rav. Shemena, if the original animal originally was a good Shemena animal, was a nice fatty animal, was worth a lot of money, v'chisha, but the ganav made it worth less. Rashi explains, v'chisha, he says, haganav v'chisha, the ganav made it worth less. B'yodayim, he himself did it. How? B'torach milocha o b'makel, either by making it work extra hard or by beating it, essentially not treating it properly. So if it was worth $200 and now it's worth $100, so the Brisa says, Mishalim Tashulim Kefil, Tashulim Abim Chamisha, Ke'en Shaganav. Here the Brisa says, Beferish, that you go and pay the valuation of the animal when it was $200 at the time that it was stolen, and not when you bring him to Beis Din when it's only worth $100. Now again, this seems to go against Rav, but we give the same exact terrors that we gave a moment ago. Rav wasn't talking about a case where the Ganav either fattened it up, like the first case, or the Ganav made it worth less. In that situation, you can't go and take the increase or the decrease from the ganav and expect the ganav to be compensating the original owner based upon what he did to it. You go looking at the original evaluation, which is what the time that it was stolen. And that's what we say over here too, hosum nami. In this situation as well, we go and evaluate it from the time that it was stolen because that's when it was worth more. And it's not fair that the ganav should get away, so to say, with paying less kefil, less dalav hay, because he made it weak. Bishum damrina le, because we can say in this situation, mali kot la kula, mali kot la palga. Essentially, if he had shechted it, the ganav had shechted the animal right away, so he'd pay at the time that it was stolen because he shechted it right away. In this situation, he can essentially say, what difference does it make if you had shechted it or you started to shecht it? You started to weaken it, cut the palga, you killed it partially by weakening it, or you killed it totally. So therefore, in this situation, when the ganav made it decrease in value, so then you go by the shas geneva and not the shas based in. Same thing as we just said a moment ago. When the ganav made it fatter, so he can say, listen, I'll pay you dalav hay, I'll pay you kefil, but not what it's worth right now because I fattened it up. I'll pay you what it was worth at the time of the ganeva. So too over here, I'll pay you what it's worth at the time of the ganeva, and you can't say that I should pay you less because I weakened the animal. So therefore, these two are different than what Rav said. Ki kama Rav, what did Rav say that you pay the dalav hay and the kefil at the time of the basin, whereas the keren is paid at the time of the geneva? That's when biyukra vizola, when it went either up in value or went down in value, hu dekamar on its own, where it happened without the ganav doing anything to it. It naturally went up in price or it naturally went down in price. The prices in the market went up or down. The animal's the same animal. He didn't make it fatter, he didn't make it leaner, but the market changed in that situation. So then the ganav has to reimburse based upon the valuation naturally that occurred, that it's now worth more or less at the time of Beis Din taking him to Beis Din. So therefore, that's what Rav's din is, as opposed to where he made it fatter, the ganav made it fatter, or the ganav made it leaner. And the Gemara asks, what exactly is this case of it goes up naturally on its own? Hechidami. So for example, the Gemara says, Ilema deme kara shavya zuza, if originally this animal was worth a zuz when it was stolen, or the item was worth the zuz when it was stolen. Ulubisov, shavya arba zuze, and now, at the end, when you take him to Beis Din, or at the time, for example, the animal, it was slaughtered, or it was sold, so then, in that situation, now it's worth four at that time, it originally was worth one, now it's worth four, so then, keren ke'en shaganav, you pay the keren like it was the principal, which is one zuz, and in this situation, you would pay the kefel, or the dalav hay, based upon its being evaluated now at four zuz. So the Gemara says, if this is so, lemo pliga de Rav adirabba. Maybe in this situation, then Rav is arguing with what Rabba said. Now, what did Rabba say? Some have the girsa over here, Rava, by the way, but we'll have the girsa Rabba. We'll keep it that way. You can see in the Masorah Shas, he says some have the girsa Rava. We'll just leave it nice and simple in the Gemara that this is the girsa of Rabba. Lemo pliga de Rav adirabba. Why? Because the Amar Rabba had said, "Hayman de gozel chavito de chamra mechavre." If a person stole a a barrel of wine, chavit is a barrel of wine from his friend. So initially, meikara shav yezuz, it was worth a zuz. And then wine went up in price, inflation. The libsov shav yarba zuze, now it's worth four at the time that it was destroyed. In other words, when he consumed the wine or he sold the wine, so tavra oshasya, if in fact this ganav went and destroyed it, he either broke the barrel of wine, or shatsu, or he drank the barrel of wine. So, mishalem arba, he pays that evaluation of four zuzin at that point in time. However, itvar mimela, if it broke on its own, then mishalem zuz. Then he only pays the original valuation, which is one zuz. Now, this goes against what Rav had said. Rav had said that if it went up on its own, so then you look at it at the time of the Basin, when you brought the Basin, and not at the time that it originally was stolen. So this seems to go against what Rav said. So are you telling me that Rav argues with this din of Rabo / Rava? So Gemara says, Lav Davka. Amre, what would Rav say in response? Ki kama Rav. The Gemara tells us that Rav agrees with this opinion of Rabo / Rava, because Rav had said his din, kagon de meikara shavya arba. He said in the other scenario, where it was originally worth more, it was worth four at the time that the barrel was stolen, ulbisof shavya zuza, and subsequently when it was broken or drunk, it was only worth one zuz. The price of the wine went down. So in this situation, Rav says, and Rava would agree, keren ke'en shaganav. You pay for the keren, which was worth four, at the time that it was stolen, that you pay four. And tashlume kefel v'tashlume arba v'chamisha, but the additional penalty payments of kefel and dalid v'hei, kishas hamodo badin, that you pay at the time of the evaluation. So this is consistent with what Rav said. Because in this situation, what you're essentially saying is that you pay the keren at the time when it was worth four, and then when you're paying dalid v'hei, so then you're really paying four zuzim as well, because it's only worth one at this point in time, but you pay dalid v'hei. So that's what it means, that you pay mishalim zuza, but it turns out that you're actually paying four zuzim, because that's what the dalid v'hei would be in this situation. Okay, so therefore Rav is actually consistent with Rabba. And now the Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Chanina, others have the Girsa Chananya. In any event, Tani Rabbi Chanina, L'sayui D'Rav, we have a Braisa that Rabbi Chanina brings down that is in support of what Rav said. This din of Rav, that you pay the principal based upon the time of the Geneva, and the Dalad Hei, or the Kefal, that's based upon its evaluation at the time you take the guy to Basin. And this Braisa says as follows, Bala Bayish Shetuan Tainas Ganov Bipikodon. You have over here a person who's watching a pikadon. He's essentially a shomer chinam, and he says that it was stolen from him. Toan tainas ganov in this pikadon, but in fact he stole it. Okay, the nishpa, and he swore that no, it was stolen from him. And then afterwards, he realizes that what he did is terribly wrong. He's basically cheating the other guy, and vahoda, and he admits that he in fact made the whole story up. It wasn't really stolen. He had stolen it. So in this situation, this would be a general din of a person who's mowed on something, so he has to go and then pay back. It won't be a din of kefal. So in this situation, ubo edim, and then witnesses came and proved that this guy, in fact, was a ganav, and that he had the item in his hand, and it wasn't really stolen from him. So it depends when the witnesses come. Im achelo bo edim hoda, if before the witnesses came, he was mowed there, so then the general rule of Hodah applies in this situation, because he swore falsely, so therefore he has to pay back the keren. He won't have to pay kefil, because he admitted. So mishalim keren, he has to pay back the principal, but then he also has to pay the chomesh back. A chomesh, again, means a fourth from the inside, a fifth from the outside. So let's say this item that he stole was worth $100, so he'll have to pay back the principal, $100. He'll then have to pay a fifth, which is really a fourth of the 100, which when you add it on to the total is 25 of 125, so that's why it's called the fifth. Plus, he has to bring an asham for a false shvua in this situation. So he has to do all of these things when he's hodeh. After he did a shvua, he pays the keren, he pays the chomesh, and he brings an asham. Now, that's where the witnesses came after he was hodeh. V'mishabo edim hodeh. But if the witnesses had already come, and then he admits it, so then the guy has to pay twice, so to say. He has to pay what he had just said, the keren, the chomesh, and the asham, but he also then has to pay because the witnesses are forcing him to have to pay mishalim tashlumi kevel the asham. He'll have to pay in this situation the keren, of course, and then he'll pay tashlumi kevel, he'll pay the additional kevel payment, and he still has to bring the asham for the hodah to his false swearing. Now, what about the Chomesh? The Chumsho Ola Lo Bikvelo. As Rashi points out, the Chomesh over here, in the last Rashi on the Daf, Shahari Chomesh Libalim Hu, the Chomesh as well as the Kepo go to the Balim, the Hu Shokel, and they're both the same. The Chomesh is exactly the same amount as the Kepo. Now, how can that be? How can the Chomesh be the same amount as the Kepo? The Kepo is double, and the Chomesh is a fourth, a fifth. So, how can that be? So, this is Divrei Rabbi Yaakov, and we'll explain on the Amud Beis, which we're turning to right now, and we'll see this in the Gemara in a moment, that what we're dealing over here is that the Kepel is going to be the amount that it was worth, for example, at the time of the thievery, at the time that he stole it, and then the amount of the Kepel, or the Dalad the Hay, is going to be at the time that it was brought to Beis Din. So, for example, if it was worth 4 zuzim at the time that he stole it, so that's going to be the principal amount. But the fifth that he has to pay, that's going to be based a fifth of this amount of the 4 zuzim, and that's going to be 1 zuz. But the kefil will be based upon the amount that it's worth at the time of the Beis Din's evaluation, which it decreased in value to only be 1 zuz. So the 1 zuz, which is the amount for the kefil, is going to be equal to the 1/5, which is really a quarter, of the 4 zuzim. And therefore, it's 1 and 1. That's how the Gemara is going to explain it, it's the same amount. So in this unique situation, and this will be a raya to Rav, as we'll see from the words of Rav Yaakov, this is a raya to Rav, that the amount that you pay at the time of the Geneva is different than the amount that you pay at the time of the evaluation by the Beis Din. So at the time of the Geneva it was 4, at the time of the evaluation of Beis Din it's 1, and that amount, the 1/5, which is really 1/4, of the original amount, which is 4 zuzim, will be 1, and then the kefil amount, which is based upon the time that the evaluation of Beis Din, was only 1. So you're going to pay the kefil based upon the 1. So the 1 that you're paying this additional amount besides the keren is going to be 1, and the 1/5, which is really 1/4, of the 4 zuzim is going to be 1. So here you have the unique situation that the 1 and the 1 are the exact same amount. And therefore, this 1/5, which is a kapara, is being given over in the form of both the 1/5 and the kefil. It only has to be given one time. That's the understanding of Rav Yaakov. I hope we made that clear. We'll see this more in the Gemara, so we'll get another chance to say it in a moment. So that's the beginning of the Braisa, and this is really the Lema Misayalei to Rav. Here you see from the opinion of Rav Yaakov, a raya to what Rav just said. Now, we continue the Braisa, we have the opinion of the Chachamim, and we'll have the opinion of Shimon B'Yochai. So the second opinion is the Chachamim. The Chachamim Rim, and we're now on Samach Beis with Beis. So the Chachamim say, no, we have a pasuk, Birosho V'Chemishi So. Now, again, we have a problem. It's somewhat interesting that we have this problem. In a few days, we have the same thing. The Torah Or is wrong in the older Gemaras, and it's right in the newer Gemaras. In the Oz V'Had, the newer Gemaras, so they have the right Torah Or over here. And they have, in this situation, they're bringing down not the pasuk from Vayikra, Perikei, Pasuk Chavdalid, which we will need later on. But instead, that pasuk is Birosho V'Chamishi Sov. Our pasuk is Birosho V'Chamishi So, which is a pasuk in Bamidbar, Perikei, Pasuk Zayin. And that pasuk reads, Veishiv Es Ashamo Birosho V'Chamishi So Yosef Olov. This pasuk tells us the Rosho, which is the principal, and V'Chamishi So, and the fifth, which is really a fourth, as we said, of this principal. So the pasuk tells us, according to the Chachamim, it tells us Birosho, when you pay the principal, and not Kefil, and not Dalad V'Hei, then there's a din of V'Chamishi So, that you pay the fifth. So, the Gemara says, Momon HaMishtalem Birosh, when you're paying just the principal, not kefil, not dalad v'hei, then mosif chomesh. Then there is a din of chomesh. However, mamon she'ein mishtalim birosho, when you're not paying just the principal, you're paying kefil, or you're paying dalad v'hei, then there is no din of chomesh. Ein mosif chomesh. So the Chachamim argued with Yaakov. Yaakov said that there is both a chomesh and a kefil, and you only have to pay it one time because the chomesh is the kefil. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. Now, they agree with Rav Yaakov that you have to bring an Oshim in this case as well. And now we have the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Ein Chomesh Ve'Oshim. He says, similar to the Chachamim, except he adds on that not only is there no Chomesh when you don't pay the principal only, there's no Chomesh if you have to pay Kefel or Dalad V'Hei, but there's also no Oshim. Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, Ein Chomesh whenever you have kefil or dalad v'hei, there is no din not only of chomesh, but there's also no din of an osham. So we have these three opinions over here. Bottom line is, however, the raya to Rav is from the first opinion from Rav Yaakov. Ketani mi, as we said at the beginning of the Braisa, chumsho olelo bichlelo. Rav Yaakov's opinion was, if the chomesh is exactly the same as the kefal, so then you get away with just one payment. You need the chomesh to be a kapara, but if that kapara happens to be the same amount as the kefal, so then you only have to pay it one time. If it's not the same amount, then you have to pay separate kefal and separate chomesh. That was the opinion of Yaakov. Nahechidami, how could that possibly be? So I already explained it to you outside before, and now we'll see it inside. Ilema, if you're going to tell me this is the wrong shot. Ilema deme kora shavi arba, v'lusov shavi arba. If you're going to tell me that the item that was stolen was worth 4 zuzim at the beginning, and it's worth 4 zuzim when it's taken to Beis Din, so then there's no way over here. Chumsho olelo bechvelo, kefelo arba v'chumsho zuzah. That wouldn't be right, because the kefal is based upon 4, so the principal is 4, so the kefal will be another 4, and then the fifth, which is really a 4th, the 4 is 1. So, therefore, that amount isn't the same. If you're telling me it was worth 4 at the time of the Gneva, and it's worth 4 at the time of the evaluation by Beis Din, so then the kefal would be 4, and the 5th would be 1. Kfeil arba, v'chum shazuzah. So that can't be it. Ella, mustn't it be what I said before? Elav, demei korish shavi arba. The item, when it was stolen, was worth 4 zuzim. Ulubisol, but then it diminished in value, v'lubso shavi zuzah. It's only worth now a zuz. So, when do you pay the kefal according to Rav? This is the lema Masaila le Rav. You pay that at the time of the evaluation by Beis Din. And now it's only worth a single zuz. So, the kefal payment, the additional second payment is going to be based upon its evaluation at 1. So the kfela is zuz in this situation. But the chomesh is based upon the original evaluation at the time of the gneva. So therefore, a fifth, which is really a fourth of 4 zuzim, is 1 zuz. V'chumshe zuza. So here you have that the keren is clearly from the time of the gneva, and the kefel is from the time of the evaluation by Beis Din. So Alma, what do you see? Keren ke'ein sheganav, and tashume kefel, tashume arba v'chamisho, kishas amon v'din. Lema messiah leilu Rav. Here we have Rav Yaakov's opinion, and the Braisa is perfectly consistent with the opinion of Rav. Where it says, lav dafka. Amar Rava, Rava says, maybe not. Liolam, in fact, you could explain Rav Yaakov in the following manner. Liolam demekori shavi arba, v'hashanami shavi arba. No. We rejected this before, and Rava now reinstates it. Rava says maybe it was worth 4 at the time of the Gneva, and it's worth 4 at the time of the evaluation by Beis Din. Then we had the problem, Udukokasha, the problem that we had, then the Kvelo is Arba, Bechum Shizuza, the Kefal is based upon the time of the evaluation, which is 4, so then the Kefal will be 4, but the Chomesh, which is based upon the time of the theft, so that was 4, and a fifth, which is really a fourth of that 4, is 1, so what about that problem, that it's not the same amount, the Kefal is not the same amount as the Chomesh, so how could Rav Yaakov say that one payment would be able to do it? So no, Rava says, Hocha Mayaskin, you know what we're talking about? He swore falsely 4 times. Kigon Shenishba, V'chazar V'nishba, V'chazar V'nishba, V'chazar V'nishba, Arba Pomer. 4 times he swore falsely. And only then, Vahoda. And then he subsequently admitted that he was wrong. And the Torah said, now here we have the pasuk that we have in the Torah R under Oz Aleph in the older Gemaras. In the Oz Vahoda, they bring this down as a separate Torah R. And here it brings down the pasuk from Vayikra Perekei, Pasuk Chavdalit. Vatorah Amra, in this situation, the Torah tells us, Omikola She Yishova Olov LaSheker, Vishilam Oso Birosho, V'chamishi sov, not v'chamishi sov, v'chamishi sov. V'Torah omra v'chamishi sov, and therefore HaTorah ripsa chamishios harbe b'keren achas. So even though you have the principal being worth 4 zuzim, and if he only swore one time, so you have to pay only one time a chomesh, again, a fourth, which is really a fifth, so you'd only pay 1. When you add 1 to the 4, it's 5, so that's why it's 1 is a fifth of 5, it's a fourth of 4, but he swore falsely 4 times, and he admitted 1 time. So therefore, you actually pay 1 chomesh, which is 1 zuz, 4 times. And that's how Rava says you could explain that it could have been worth 4 zuzim at the time of the theft, and 4 zuzim at the time of the valuation of Beis Din, and still come up with the same number. So therefore, Rava says, lav dafka, do you have to say that this is lema messiah lila Rav? Now, obviously, Rav would answer that this is somewhat of a dochak teretz that Rava is giving, to say that he swore falsely 4 times and was more than 1 time. So therefore, Rav is certainly in good position over here to reject this attack on the Lema Messiah from Rava. Okay. Now the Gemara says, let's continue darshening over here the opinion of the Chachamim. Amar Ma, we just wrote down the opinion of the Chachamim in this Braisa. We're done with Rav Yaakov for now. Now we go with Chachamim. Amar Ma, the Chachamim said, V'rosho v'chamishi so. This is the pasuk from Bamidbar, Perek Hei, Pasuk Vav. V'yishiv es Hashemo v'rosho v'chamishi so Yosef olov. Now, this teaches us, as we brought down in the Braisa, Mamon ha-mishtalim v'rosh, Mosif Chomish. If you're going to pay the Karen, if you're just going to pay the principal amount, so then there's a din of a fifth. But if you're going to pay Kepel, a dollar, the hay, Mamon She'ein Mishtalim B'Rosh, you don't pay the principal, but you're paying dollar, the hay, or Kepel, so then you ain't no Mosif Chomish. Then there is no din of a Chomish. So again, the Chachamim disagreed with Yaakov about the Chomish. Now, notice, as I pointed out before, I hear the Gemara says it, Avalosha Maisi, the Chachamim are in agreement with Rav Yaakov that you still bring in Osham. And the Gemara asks the question, why do they disagree with Rav Yaakov in regards to the Chomesh, but they agree in regards to the Osham? Shouldn't the two be exactly the same? Maishna Chomesh Delo Mishalim. Why do the Chachamim say, we disagree with you, Rav Yaakov, you don't pay a Chomesh? That's because the Pasuk says, Tchsev Birosho V'chamishi So. This Pasuk tells us that only when there's a Rosho, when there's a Karen, and just Karen, then you pay the Chomesh. Well, guess what? We have another Pasuk that says, Oshom Nami Lo Mishalem, because we have another Pasuk, the Haksiv Birosho. Now, the Girsa that we have is V'chamishi So, but no, this is going back to the Pasuk from Vayikra, Perikei, Pasuk Chaf Dalid. And that is, the Haksiv Birosho V'chamishi Sov. And then it says in the next Pasuk, it says, Es Ashomo. And this pasuk is the Es Ashamo Yavi LaHashem Ayil Tomim. So there it says the Es Ashamo. So this extra word, the Es Amasho, in pasuk Chav Hey, in the next pasuk, comes to teach us that the Asham also is included. So again, the question is, why do the Chachamim disagree with Rav Yaakov and say there's only a Chomesh if there's only a principal, but there's no Chomesh if you pay Kefel or Dala V'Hey, as opposed to Rav Yaakov who says that there is a Chomesh, even if you pay Kefel or Dala V'Hey, but they don't argue in regards to the Asham. There they agree. But how come? You have the same reasoning that they argued with him for the Chomesh should apply to the Asham as well. So how do we answer that? So Gemara says, Amri Loch Rabban, and the Chacham will respond and say, no, we have Es Ashamo, the Es Ashamo, Pasuk Chav Hey, that comes Paskekra, that comes to separate the din of the Chomesh, the Pasuk Birosho V'chamishi So, to say that those two go hand in hand, only if there's a principal, and just the principal, do you pay the Chomesh, and if there's more than the principal, you don't pay the Chomesh according to Chachamim. However, the Es Ashamo separates that, and we don't say the same thing by Asham, and therefore by the Asham, even if there is not a principal payment, but it's a kefil or dalav hay, the Chachamim agree with Rav Yaakov that you have to pay it. That's what the Rabbanim say. I'm the Rabbanim, Es, the word the Es Ashamo, Paske Cross, separates the two. No, why did Rabbi Shimon B'Yochai say that you don't pay a Chomesh and you don't pay even the Asham? How come Rabbi Shimon B'Yochai argues with the Chachamim? So Gemara says, because it says the S. He says the extra Vav, Arvekra, comes to bring in the Asham to have the same din as the Chomesh. According to Rabbi Shimon B'Yochai, not only do you only pay the Chomesh when there's a din of just the principal, not Kefil, not Dalvehei, but also there's no din of Asham if you pay anything other than the principal. If you pay Kefil, Dalvehei, there's no Asham. No, the Gemara asked the obvious question. If you're telling me the S is Arvei Kra, so then why do you need either word? The Rabbanan would argue with Rishon Yochai, and they would say, listen, if you're saying that they're all connected, so then lo lichtov rachmana lo vav v'lo S, then don't write anything. Instead of saying the S Ashamo, just say Ashamo. And you're saying that the Vav comes to reconnect them. The S came to separate them. The Vav comes to reconnect them. So don't say anything. And you won't have to reconnect it. So that's why the Chachamim disagree with Shimon Yochai. No, what does Shimon Yochai say to this? It's a good time for the Chachamim. So Shimon Yochai, Omer Loch, he says as follows. No. Shimon Yochai, Omer Loch, he says, the word S, Lo Sagi de Lo Kosav. You couldn't not write the word S, because you needed to separate the payment of a Chomesh, which goes to the person, and the payment of the Asham, which goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you need the word S, Lav Suke Be Mamon Gavoa, L'Mamon Hedjot. We have to differentiate between the Asham payment, which is to Hashem, and the financial payment, the Chomesh, which goes to a person. So therefore, you needed the word S to do that separation. But then you want to reconnect them, that's why you need the Vav. Hilchach, also Vav, Arvekra. That's why Rishon Yochai says you need the Vav here now. You can't just delete both of them. You need the S because you want to separate the payment to a human being versus the payment to Hashem. But then you got to reconnect them, so you need the S to show you that if there's anything other than the principal payment, then you don't pay the Chomesh or the Yashem. That's why you need the Vav, according to Rishon Yochai. Chacham obviously disagree with that drasha. Okay, this was a very complicated drasha. I hope they were clear. Let's go weiter. Gemara continues and tells us the following din. Rabbi Law says, Ganav Tle. If a person is a Ganav and he steals a Tle, a Tle is a sheep that is in its first year of life. Venas Ayil. And now it matures and it's now in its second year of life. It's an Ayil. So he stole it when it was in its first year of life and now it has grown into a second year sheep. It's in its second year of life. Or he stole an Egel, which is a baby calf. Venas Ashar. And it grows into a Shar. Now here a Shar is not in its second year of life that it's called a shor, it's in its third year of life that it's called a shor. And anyway, that's a technical detail here. Bottom line is, he stole something when it was immature, when it was the younger of the species, and now it's the full-grown adult, so to say, of the species. So what's the din? So Rabbi Law tells us, Nasa shinoi biyado, it is as if he made a shinoi occurred by himself in his hands, and ukino, and therefore, with the shinoi, he has acquired it, and therefore, he now is the owner of it. So therefore, Tovach u'mochar, if he now shechs it or he sells it, he's not selling the original owner. He's now the owner of it himself because of the shinoi, and therefore he's shechting or selling his own. Shalohu tovach, shalohu mocher, and there won't be a penalty of dalid v'hei. That is what Rabbi Law tells us. Eisvei Rabbi Chanina l'Rabbi Law. Rabbi Chanina doesn't like this. He says to Rabbi Law, are you telling me, gonav tle v'nasa ayil, or ego v'nasa shor? In that situation, you don't have to pay kefel. You do pay. Mishali tashlumi kefel, but tashlumi arba v'chamisha kein shiganav. You pay it as if it was evaluated at the time that it was stolen, when it was a tleh or when it was an egel. Because v'soka daitoch kanye b'shinoi. Because if you're telling me that you in fact acquired it when it made the shinoi from going from a tleh to an ayil or from an egel to a shar, so then am I mishali? Why should he ever have to pay dalad v'hei? Shalohu tovech, shalohu mocher. Then he should pay nothing. So how can this brisa say that you pay tashlumi kevel, tashlumi arba v'chamisha, kein shiganav? So this brisa goes beferish against what you are saying, Rabbi Law. Rabbi Law says back, Omalei says back to Rabbi Chanina, really? Velamai, what are you saying? That there is no kinyan by the shinoi? Shinoi lo kani, when it goes from a tled to an ayil, or an egel to a shor, that's not called a shinoi, and it doesn't become acquired by the person as a shinoi? So then, amai mishalim kein shiganav. So then why would you pay the valuation at the time of the theft? Lishalim kihashta. Then you should pay it at the higher valuation, which right now, instead of being a tleh, it's an ayil. If it never was acquired by him, so then it still belongs to the original owner. So then you should pay the ayil price, and you should pay the shor price, not the tleh, an egel price. So Rabbi Law says, you have the same problem that I do. You don't seem to go along with this brisa as well, because the brisa says you pay ke'ein shaganav. Why should you pay she'ein shaganav? If no kinyan was made, you should pay ke'ein beistin, the time of beistin. So Rabbi Chanina says back, Amalei, why don't you pay like the valuation right now? Because the ganav can say, Mishum d'amale, did I steal from you a ayil? Did I steal from you a shor? No. Mishum d'amale, Torah ganvei micha? Dichra ganvei micha? Did I steal a shor? A Torah is a shor? Did I steal an ayil? No. I stole a tleh. I stole an ego. So therefore, I only have to pay that amount. Rabbi Loi says, Amalei, Rachmano Nitzlan Mehai Daita. Your reasoning is warped. Your reasoning doesn't make any sense. God should save us from such reasoning. And Rabbi Chanina says back to Rabbi Loi the same thing. Amalei, no, Adrabba. No, your reasoning is warped. Rachmano Nitzlan, God should save us, Midaita Didoch, from your Svara. The Gemara doesn't answer which one is right, but these are the two sides of the coin over here, Rabbi Loi and Rabbi Chanina. Each one is arguing that a kinyan either does take place or a kinyan doesn't take place with this change in its status from a tleh to an ayil or an egel to a shor, and that will have ramifications in terms of the payment. The Gemara doesn't answer the question, and we go weiter. Gemara says, Maskip lo Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira asks, wait a second, v'niknuhu b'shinui Hashem. Wait a second, whether you hold like Rabbi Law or whether you hold like Rabbi Chanina, you should say that there is a kinyan over here because there's a shinui in the name of the animal. The animal is no longer called a tleh. It's now called an ayil. The animal is no longer called an eagle. It's called a shar. So the shinui in the name should make the shinui in terms of the ownership. So Rava says, Omar Rava, no, because you can still call it a shar even ben yomo kari shor. And you can still call it an ayil because ayil ben yomo kari ayil. Rava says that Rav Zeira's comment is not correct. Rav Zeira says, why isn't there a kinyan because of the change of name? We're now calling it an ayil. We're now calling it a shor. So Rava says, no, even an ayil can refer to a one-year-old ram, a one-year-old sheep. And even a shor, which is normally a third year or older, can refer to a brand new baby eagle. And I'll show you that I'm right. Rava says, because I have psukim to support me. Shor ben yomo, kari shor, we see that a shor that's even one day old is still called a shor. It's not just called an eagle, but it can also be called a shor. Because the pasuk says, shor o kasef o eiz ki volei, the famous laning that we do on the Shlosh Regalim, tells us that if you have a shor, or a kesev, or an eiz, or is an ox, a kesev is a lamb, and eiz is a goat, ki yivaleid, when they are born. So you see that it's called the shor even the day it is born. So here's a raya that a shor can even refer to a brand new baby egel, even though a shor is normally when it's in its third year or older. And likewise with an ayil. Ayil ben yomo kari ayil, we see that even a brand new baby ayil, which we refer to as a tleh, can still be referred to as an ayil. Because the pasuk says, dechsiv, the eleit so necha lo acholti. When Yaakov Avinu says to Lavan, you think I took one thing from you without paying for it? I didn't take even an ayil from you. The eleit so necha lo acholti. Now, if he's talking about only two-year-olds of the ram family, of the sheep family, elim hu de lo achal? He's saying, I didn't eat a two-year-old sheep, but kivasim achal, but I ate a one-year-old sheep. No, obviously meant I don't eat any sheep. And lav shmamina, you can see from Yaakov's response to Lavan that even an ayil can be used to refer to a one-year-old or less, or a two-year-old or more. So shmamina, ayil ben yomo kari ayil. Even a one-day-old ayil is referred to as an ayil, even though we normally refer to it as a tzla. Okay, so that's how Rava answers up the question of Rabbi Zeira. Okay, the Gemara continues about the machlokas between Rabbi Lo and Rabbi Chanina. So the bottom line is, according to both of them, the brisa doesn't seem to fit. Mikol makom kasha. While Rabbi Lo says that Rabbi Chanina has a problem as well, but clearly there's a problem to Rabbi Lo. The brisa says you pay dalad v'hei, and Rabbi Lo says you don't pay dalad v'hei. So what's going on? So I'm Rosheisha says, Homani, this is now, we introduce a second machlokus over here, that in fact, this is a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And in fact, that will answer up Rabbi Loi's problem, because he'll say that this brisa is only in accord with the opinion of Beis Shammai. Homani, Beis Shammai, this brisa is under the authorship of Beis Shammai, because they hold the Amre, Shinoi b'mekomo omedes v'lokani, that even though there's a Shinoi, it doesn't make a change in ownership. And therefore, the Braisa, which says that you still have to pay Dalav Hay, could say, even though there was a change in status, in ownership, like Rabbi Law said, so, but that's only according to Beis Shammai, that the Braisa says that you still pay Dalav Hay. According to Beis Hillel, you wouldn't pay the Dalav Hay, and therefore Rabbi Law says, there's a change in ownership, and you don't pay Dalav Hay. That's my opinion, like Beis Hillel. And where do we see this machlos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? The tiny, because we learn the following Braisa. If a woman is Rachmana Litzlan, a woman of ill repute, and she takes nebuch a bunny or an item for her services. So if she takes an item such as an esnan, which would be an item that could be eventually brought upon the mizbeach in this scenario. So for example, she took chitin, wheat, for her esnan. So for the services rendered for nebuch committing znus with this man, so she gets a bushel of wheat. So noasan lo bi esnana chitin, for the payment for her services, for the cohabitation with her, so she got a bushel of wheat. And then the asan solus, and she turns it into solus, which now can be used in the Beis HaMikdash. So you're not allowed to do that. That's called esnan zona. Or she's given zeisin for her services, she's given olives, and vason shemen, and she turns it into oil, which could be used for nisachim on the mizbeach, so that's not allowed, that's called esnan zona. Or she's given anavim for her services for cohabitation, vason yain, she turns it into wine, which can be used for the libations, for nisachim on the mizbeach. So in all of these scenarios, this is esnan zona, and it's not allowed. So Tani Chodah, the first brisa tells us, it's aser, you're not allowed to go and use this, because we say, even though there was a shinoi, it went from chitin to solas, or zesim to shemen, or yayin from anavim, so in all of these scenarios, the first opinion is tanicha, the one brisa tells us aser, because even though there's a change, so nevertheless, it retains its status of esnan zona. This is the opinion of Beis Shammai. But tanicha, another brisa says that it's mutter, because it's no longer an esnan zona. The esnan zona was wheat, it was olives, it was grapes. You made a shinui in it to make the wheat into solas, the olives into shemen, the grapes into wine. Now it's a different category, and it could be mutter. You could bring this as a carbon, and it's not called estanzona. So we have these two braises, Vagmar of Yosef. Rav Yosef says what I just said. He learned it in the name of Tani Guryon de Me'aspurk. That's the name of a place. So this Tana Guryon, who learned this braises in the following way. He says, Beis Shammai is the first braise that said Osrin, and Beis Hillel is the second braise that said Matirin. Now, what's the rationale between these two opinions? My time with the Beis Shammai, why does Beis Shammai say that this is still called Esnan Zona, even though there was a Shinui in it? Because the Pasuk says, I read you the old Pasuk, Lo Sovi Esnan Zora Umechir Kelev Beis Hashem Elokecha. It's forbidden to bring the Esnan Zona, the service of the Zona. Or, by the way, if you sell it for a dog, it's also Pasnished, whatever. You sell a dog for a gallon of wine, so you can't use that wine for libations. That's called Mechir Kelev. You're not allowed to bring this Beis Hashem Elokecha, L'chol Neder. You're not allowed to bring this to fulfill a vow that you brought to bring something to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because it's disgusting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki sov as Hashem Elokecha, it is an abomination. It's disgusting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be given something that was once an Esnan Zona or Mechir Kelev. And it says, Gam Shnehem. Both of them also. Now, what's this ribuy from the word gam? So, Beis Shammai says, the word gam in this pasuk is l'rabos shinuyehem. It's come to teach us, not only is the direct esnan zona, if the zona got a gallon of wine for her services, so then you can't bring that gallon of wine on the mizbeach as a libation. Everybody agrees to that. But even if it was grapes that were then turned into wine, Beis Shammai says that's what the word gam comes to exclude as well in the din of Esnan Zona, that the wine or the grapes that are then turned into wine are both Esnan Zona. Gam is l'rabos shinuim. If you did a change in the original item and made it something else, you changed the wheat to flour, you changed the olives to oil, you changed the grapes to wine, Beis Shammai says gam is l'rabos these changes as well in the din of Esnan Zona. Whereas Beis Hillel says no. It says, Gam Shnehem. The word Shnehem, Beis Hillel says, is Shnehem. Heim v'lo Shinuyehem. That these are not allowed to be brought. However, Shinuyehem are allowed to be brought. So if you made a Shinu, you made the wheat into solas, you made the olives into oil, you made the grapes into wine, you are allowed to go and bring them. So they dash in the word Shnehem. Nu, what does Beis Shammai do with the word Shnehem? How? They say the word Shnehem, we turn to Samach Vav Omer Aleph, teaches us as well it teaches us that not only are a change in the olives to shemen, or the wine from the grapes, or the flour from the grain, from the wheat, but even, let's say it was a cow that was the Esnan Zona, so you can't even use the vlados of that cow to bring as a korban. That's why they need gam, and that's why they need shnehem. The hem teaches us this additional prohibition. Inclusion in the din of Esnan Zona. Now, what does Beis Hillel do with this? They also agree with Vlad Hussein. So the Gemara says, Tarti Shamas Nino. They say that you can learn both of these from the word Shnehem. Heim v'lo Shinuyehem, Heim v'lo Vlad Hussein. So this teaches us the Heim from the word Shnehem comes to teach us that not only does this din of Esnan Zona not apply to the Shinuyim, but it also doesn't apply to their offspring. So Beis Hillel say, no, you can go and bring a Shinui from something that was an Esnan Zona. So you can bring the flour that was coming from the Esnan Zona grain, or the oil that came from the Esnan Zona olive, or the wine that came from the Esnan Zona grapes. And that's part of the Haim teaches us, v'lo shinuyehem. But Haim also teaches us, v'lo v'lo the same. So if the woman got, as an Esnan Zona, a sheep, she had a ewe, a female sheep, and that sheep then gave birth. So Haim, v'lo v'lo doseim, teaches us that while the original sheep, the ewe that the woman got as an Esnan Zona, is forbidden to be brought as a korban, but the babies of that sheep that are born can be brought as a korban themselves. No. What does Beis Hillel do with the word gam? Hochsiv gam, gam shnehem. So gam, the Beis Hillel is a kasha. You're right. They don't have a reason why it says gam. Now, it uses the lashon over here of kasha. Doesn't say tiyufta. So there's a teretz. The Gemara doesn't bring it. So the Shar Mitzvah and Balach bring down the Torah Chaim, who says that the word gam, according to Beis Hillel, it comes to be marbe shinui haba mimela. That comes to teach us that a shinui that comes by itself that is also included in Esnan Zona, as opposed to something that you actively did, so then that shinui is included in Esnan Zona if it comes by itself, but a shinui that you did, you turned the grain into flour, you turned the olives into oil, you turned the grapes into wine, that's a shinui that you did with your hands, that's not included, but a shinui that comes by itself, so then that is included in the din of Esnan Zona. Okay, so we're almost done. Let's go a little bit more. We'll finish off the sugya. So, ad kan lo pligi, this machlokas in Rabbi Law and Rabbi Chanina is only an argument, ella demarso of our shinoi kone. Rabbi Law holds that the shinoi is kone, and when it went from a tle to an ayil, or from an eagle to a shark, so then the ganav is kone, and you won't have to pay dalad the hay. Umar Sovar, as opposed to Rabbi Chanina, says that ain shinoi kone, that doesn't go and change the ownership, and therefore you have to go and pay dalad the hay. However, in regards to how you do go and pay, they both agree. Kuli Amo, both Rabbi Ilah and Rabbi Chanin agree, that when you do pay Kefil, Dalit, and Hay, you pay at the time of the theft, at the time of the original Gneva. As the Brisa said, Diktani, Mishalim Tashulim Kefil, Tashulim Arba Chamisha, Ke'ein Shagonim. That's what the Brisa said. Now, this goes against what Rav said. So let us now ask, this Bryce that was brought down, it seems to go against what Rav said, because Rav said, Amar Karen Ke'ein Shagonav Mishalim. However, Tashlume Kevel, Tashlume Arbam Chamisha, Kishas Hamad Bedin. So this Bryce, Befei, seems to go against Rav. How is Rav going to answer that? So Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Rav gets around it in the following way. He says, I agree with you. To Loyim, if you're actually going and paying back with sheep, the Kefil or the dollar of the hay, so then I agree, you pay kidimei kara. You go look at the animal originally. When you're paying back actual sheep, so then you go and pay what it was worth originally and not at the time of her mother's bedin. But if you're paying money, domim kishal achshav, then in that situation, you pay its evaluation now at the time the beis din is bringing you to court. As Rashi says, in Dibra Masu, tuloim kidimei kara, kolomar, ba'al lishalim tuloim, if you're paying back tuloim, so then I agree with you, the Braisa, kidimei kara, sagi, then it's good enough to pay like it was originally when it was stolen. The tleh garnav, the tleh mishalim, because you stole a tleh, and therefore you pay back with tleh. However, if you're paying back with money, so then it is the amount that it's worth at the time the beis din takes you to court, that's why you pay with money, so you pay at the time of the evaluation right now. With this, we conclude today's share, and Mitzvah Shem will pick up over here tomorrow.